Last week, a friend died. He wasn't the healthiest guy, but there was certainly no indication that his life was at risk. David's obituary made sure to mention that it was non-COVID related. I guess that will be the question that everyone asks from now on in such situations. But our friendship was based initially on our shared Christian faith, because we had met in a faith study, Bible study. It allowed us to talk about things that most people don't. And I'm left thinking about the ways that I was a good friend, but also the ways that I may have failed as a friend. These readings that the church gives us from the Acts of the Apostles throughout this Easter time encourage us to reflect on a certain kind of friendship as the basis for Christian community. No doubt it involves the faith lesson that Jesus works very hard to get into the heart and soul of Nicodemus. But we also have to ask what makes us look like a resurrection people. How are we to live an Easter spirituality such that those who look at us will want to know what we believe? Before the resurrection, on the road to Jerusalem, the disciples argued about who was the greatest of them all. Now, after the resurrection, it says that they were of one mind and soul, one heart and soul. The apostles and indeed the whole community powerfully bear witness to Christ. But Jesus himself had talked to them of how, as they draw closer to God in faith, they will also be drawn into a profound friendship with him and with the Father. Today's first reading, interestingly enough, introduces us to Barnabas, kind of out of the blue there. And he will have a very close friendship with St. Paul, especially on his evangelizing travels. And Barnabas shows his submission to the authority of Christ himself by placing his money, his possessions, at their feet. And in turn, they give him a new name, Barnabas, which means, as it says, son of encouragement. His name signifies that his mission is a deep and abiding friendship based in Christ. I believe that what we are seeing in the first Christian community in Jerusalem is a glimpse of heaven. I don't think there's any other way to look at that. It's not a utopia, which is a kind of a human idea of a perfect society, but one that can't actually exist. That's what the word utopia means. It means nowhere. It's actually a foreshadowing of the perfect existence from heaven. It's not quite heaven yet, but a pretty good indication of what that will be like. They were of one heart and soul. One is the key word there. We know that we all have unique and individual hearts and souls, yet if we are to be truly united, it has to be as one heart and soul. So, which heart and soul makes us one? Of course, it's the heart and soul of Jesus Christ, who is one with the Father, and who comes to us in the unity of the Holy Spirit, a oneness. Everyone gave up their own possessions and laid them at the feet of the apostles. What are the possessions, and who are the apostles? Well, Christian teaching understands that having possessions is stewardship. It's that recognizing that everything comes from God, and that we are the caretakers, not the owners, of what we possess. That first community is still a model for us, even today, of a very good understanding of this principle. Secondly, the apostles had the full authority of Christ. So to lay one's possessions at their feet is to give back to Christ, who gave them to us in the first place. Now, you know, of course, that we're still dealing with broken humanity, and that was the case even then. And so the very next chapter of Acts introduces discordant notes. However, unlike human-invented utopias, that thread of authentic Christian community is still our model and our hope. It is still what we can use to draw us deep into a desire for the eternal heavenly community. That's why we have a profound hunger to be connected. Today's philosophy of isolation from each other is a severe threat, I believe, to that sense of Christian community that brings us close to a heavenly sense. We are isolated out of fear, directly opposed to the assurance that in Christ there is no fear. The conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus gives us further insight into the heavenly existence. Nicodemus goes to Jesus because he believes that there is something to the idea that Jesus is a teacher from God. But Jesus very quickly raises the stakes of their conversation. Heaven is where it's at, Nicodemus. And to get there, you need to look up from ordinary human experience to the action of the Holy Spirit. It's like the wind. You can't see it, but you know it's there. The Spirit is like that. But then Nicodemus asks, how can these things be? Jesus expects a lot of a man who is a teacher of the law and a leader among the Jews. Nicodemus should have been able to understand this, for he knows that the Spirit or breath given by God is responsible for natural life, and that in messianic times, God would sprinkle clean water on the people and give them a new spirit. In both Hebrew and Greek, the same word means both wind and spirit. So it's frustrating for Jesus that this teacher of the law has trouble with that comparison. Being united to Christ and to one another in Christ requires those two things. One is to kind of feel the wind of the Spirit blowing through our souls. And the other is to seek friendship with Christ and allow that friendship to blow through us to the rest of the world. People will be attracted to that kind of friendship. People are desperate, I believe, for that kind of friendship, especially today when we are so isolated. That kind of friendship, that deep and abiding connection, unity with Christ, will encourage others to lay down their lives at the feet of Christ. I believe that's the heaven that we seek today.